Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal, glad to have you along for the next hour. Going to get into all kinds of different stuff. The Saudi Golf League has announced locations and prize money. And it is off the charts. How much money is going to be up for grabs as far as prize money, not even to mention the fee money that supposedly is out there for some of these guys. Will it matter? And who will be the biggest name to play first? I can't wait to see the fidgeting and the uncomfortableness from the top players in the world when they look over and see $25 million. I mean, everybody went nuts this weekend with a $20 million purse at the Players. $25 million for seven tournaments, $50 million in prize money for the ender, the season ender, a team competition. I cannot wait to see just how uncomfortable a lot of these guys are wanting to go play for that much money. Who will it be? Who will be the biggest name to fire off first? I think it's an easy answer, and I can't wait to see what Jared thinks. So we'll talk about that. Of course, it is NCAA tournament first round day. I don't care that they want to call the play-in games the first round. That's not right. The first round starts today, 11:15, all the way through the end of the night for the first round games today and tomorrow. Which one are you looking forward to the most today, tomorrow? What's your biggest first round upset in your bracket? How many Big 12 teams do you have going to the Sweet 16? What's the lowest seeded team you got going the farthest? Who do you want to win it all? If you want to win it. And then who do you think is going to be in the Final Four title game champion? Of course, it is still time. There is still time to join the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. ESPN's website, we've got a post pinned on the Facebook page, Skinny on Sports Facebook page. You still have time, another couple hours before you need to have that thing locked in. I changed my Final Four about four times yesterday. I think I finally settled on one. I'm not going to mess with it anymore. I'm just going to go with it. It's completely different than what I had at first. But you can still come play. Four Bedlam baseball tickets up for grabs for the winner. It's free to play. And you get those four tickets if you win to go see Bedlam baseball April the 9th. That's a Saturday up in Stillwater. So enjoy the new stadium, Bedlam baseball, if you can pick the best, be the winner of the bracket challenge. Jared's back. We'll see how he's feeling. Get a detail of how the stomach bug worked. You know, there's a thing that's back for the first time in 2 years. I'm afraid Jared might have had it.
You don't want details, I promise you.
It's called the flu. All of a sudden, the flu's back. Wasn't really that. It was kind of like that.
It was a negative.
Hey, we'll ask you. Okay. We'll ask you how it felt. Get Jared's thought on kind of the biggest story in sports. Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, what's going on there? Von Miller, the contract is ridiculous. And will the quarterback market ever correct itself? Meaning, is it just going to go up and up and up? Or are some of these guys, I've got one guy in mind, that if he can make a difference, maybe everything starts to correct itself. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698, give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has it all. Radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast, which Jared will be proud of me when I tell him that I remember to record for the first time ever when he was gone yesterday.
Bravo.
First time I've ever remembered to do that. And then somehow I shut off the stream for about 10 minutes, and I went to go listen at my desk and had to come back and restart it. Anyway, you can see that on KADSAM.com or also on iTunes. Good morning, Jared Atha.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Not 100%.
How is the stomach bug?
Not fun. It's kind of, the remnants of it are still there. I'm really dizzy. Probably not safe to drive into work when I'm really dizzy, but it was worse yesterday, I'll tell you that, but I'm not 100%. It is not fun. There is a bug going around. That's what the docs told me. So there's a bug going around. I tested negative for the flu in that other respiratory disease.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well gone. It's been eradicated.
Yeah. So I
replaced by a war.
Yes. In fact, I tested twice for that. Both negative.
Negative.
So, but and then I thought, well, it's the flu. It's not the flu. So it has to be the bug. My kid had it about a week ago. And I don't think I got it from her because it was a week ago, but I got it somewhere. It was rough, and it still is. I'm not feeling too hot right now. Hopefully, I don't spread it around. Hopefully, I'm past that. You feeling all right?
Okay. Okay.
You're okay.
I may not be 100% either, but it has nothing to do with the stomach bug.
I get you. I wish it was that.
Well, it's good to know that you're feeling better. It's just kind of on a random day that you missed the show. A lot happened.
Saw that.
So, what were your thoughts?
Where do we start?
I'm going to start with the Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson soap opera that seems to be going on in the city of Cleveland. Just kind of give you your overall thoughts, and then I'm going to start asking you questions about it.
The Browns it almost doesn't shock me that the Browns, that was a common phrase I saw yesterday. The Browns are going to Browns. They just can't get out of their own way. That it felt like to me, and I'm trying to come at this purely, you know, obviously we like Baker Mayfield for what he did at OU and we want him to do good, but I'm trying to come at it where I'm not a fan, but I keep seeing, what did you guys have before him? And look what you have with him. And all of a sudden you want to cast him aside. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me as far as an organization is concerned. That was my first reaction, was what are they doing? It's like, yeah, you have a taste of a little bit of success, and you think, well, we'll get a better, quote-unquote, quarterback, an adult quarterback, that would put us over the top. Well, careful what you wish for. You might have that guy right now. He's still a young guy growing into this league. And if you cast him aside, he might find success elsewhere, and you'd be thinking, man, we shouldn't have done that. So that's my first reaction. What about you?
I mean, as the day went along, I mean, the piling on of that guy has gone to just incredible levels.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, Chris Mortensen or Joe Biden doing that report? I mean, they both sound the same. Yeah. Poor Mort. I mean, he's definitely lost his fastball for health reasons, obviously, but goodness gracious, that was hard to even listen to, right? I mean, like, come on, man. It almost felt like Colin Cowherd was the one supplying that information about the adult and all that. There's somebody. It's funny to me, though, in that Browns organization, whoever that is, because it's obviously being leaked from inside, they've decided that a guy that's just narrowly avoided criminal charges for 22 counts of some sort of sexual assault, there's going to be civil trials with regards to that. He's the adult. I mean, I'm sure, like, he's the adult in the situation. It just I think what it does to me is it gives you an insight into why the Browns have been the laughingstock of the NFL for decades. It's because from the top down, it's dysfunctional. I mean, I think we should have seen the writing on the wall. There's no doubt to me that Baker Mayfield made a gigantic mistake last year trying to play when he was hurt. It was a huge mistake. Everyone said it at the time. Get out of there. You understood, I guess, kind of the reasons why. You know, but this isn't the time. The NFL isn't the place to battle through a injury. No, you go get fixed and then come back your best.
Right.
But should we have seen the writing on the wall when the organization allowed him to do it?
There you go. Yeah, where was the, well, coaches and the GMs and the higher-ups saying,
it should have been clear.
Hey, this is our investment. He cannot be playing right now.
It should have been clear right then that they didn't view him as a franchise, as their franchise quarterback, because that's not how you treat your franchise. Look at Dak Prescott. His hip hurt a little, and so they set him out against Minnesota to make sure there wasn't something wrong.
Right.
Baker Mayfield's arm is falling off, and they let him jog out there game after game after game. So that, I mean, to me, that should have been the sign of they don't view him as the answer. Now, does anybody? And once again, this is the narrative in a year's time on him has changed so drastically. If he starts out, because, you know, he didn't start out terrible this year, then he got hurt and it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And, you know, if you're a Baker fan, you blame it on the injury. If you're not, you just blame it on poor play, whatever it is. If he goes ahead and has that surgery, we don't have that track. We don't have those results. So what are we looking back at? Oh, yeah, he took the Browns to a playoff win. And the narrative around Baker Mayfield, if he just has the surgery and doesn't slog through a terrible end of the season, is completely different. Because we don't have the evidence to show he can't play when he's hurt. Well, guess what? Most people can't in that league. And so that's where he did himself a disservice. That's where what makes him as good as he's going to be also drags him down, because it's his moxie and it's his attitude and it's his, you know, will to win, whatever you want to call it. But it also was a huge turning point in the narrative surrounding him in a negative way. And so he didn't do himself any favors in Cleveland or maybe even around the league to get somewhere else. Now, where is that somewhere else?
That's the question of the offseason. Because if it appears that the breakup is coming, so where could he land? Would it be a straight-up swap to Houston?
According to Jake Trotter, no.
Okay. So
neither side wants that.
Okay.
Houston or Baker.
So we've heard Indianapolis, which if I'm Baker, that's where I want to be, because we've said over and over they got all the pieces. Could he be that final piece they need? Then there's, you know, Seattle's looking for a guy. Would they plug him in as the rebuild begins? So those are the ones that came to my mind. So obviously only two, really, since it's official that Houston is not going to be involved with this.
Yeah, I think the Saints are out there as a possibility, depending on what they want to do with Jameis. That would be another spot. I think if you rated them as far as Baker Mayfield's not even best, I mean, if like best case scenario option, number one has to be Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
With that offensive line in front of him, with the weapons he's got on the outside, with the running game with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, if you were Baker Mayfield, you'd be kissing the GM on the forehead on the plane ride from Cleveland to Indianapolis, right? I mean, that's got to be the number one if you're him. And if you're a fan of his wanting him to succeed in the league, that has to be number one. And that would be almost a godsend to get you out of Cleveland and to Indianapolis. Now, what about Deshaun Watson? Would it not be the most Cleveland thing ever to drop the best quarterback you've had in a couple of decades, the first one to lead you to a playoff win in however long, pick up what quite honestly is a better quarterback? I don't think anyone would sit here and say, oh, yeah, Baker Mayfield's better than Deshaun. No,
that's not the argument.
Deshaun Watson is by far and away the better player, by far and away the more proven player. But would it not be – would anything ever be more Cleveland than to drop Baker, pick up Deshaun Watson, and watch him set for half the year?
Exactly.
Or the whole year
because
he's suspended. I mean, that would be so Brownsy. That would just be the Brownsy thing to do. So it's really interesting because I think you could see the writing on the wall if you just look for it with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative surrounding Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham have flipped 180 degrees. At this time last year, after the Browns had won a playoff game, gave Kansas City everything they wanted in Arrowhead in the divisional round, it was, man, Baker and Cleveland, that offense got way better once Odell got hurt.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Oh, he quit having to look for Odell. And he started playing quarterback. And, you know, the numbers were off the charts. It was him, Rodgers, and Brady. You know, the last 8 or 10 games of last, not this season, but last season. You know, QBR and all that stuff. Like, wow. God, look what happened and Odell didn't play. Now, a year later, Odell Beckham has a Super Bowl ring after he forced himself out of Cleveland to the Rams. Mayfield collapsed at the end of the season. And it's, ugh. Is Baker Mayfield even an NFL quarterback? Mm. It's amazing how that, but a lot of it he brought on himself because he tried to play hurt. And that's all fine and dandy at Lake Travis. And heck, even maybe at OU. But it don't work in the NFL.
Right.
It wasn't working very good when he was 100% healthy. Much less have one arm hanging down off the side of your body. So it's an interesting case. You know, we had texted with Drew and Dakota and wondering if Von Miller might be a Cowboy. Holy Moses, no. 6 years, 120 mil for Von Miller. What was he, 33? 32, 33?
Yeah, he's on the other end of this as far as the end of his career. I mean, he's on the other side of it, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. Buffalo doesn't. Buffalo's all in.
What's amazing what a Super Bowl win can do. As far as your personal stock, right? He can go in and say, I want a Super Bowl. Look, they plugged me in, and look what I did.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You know, on the other side of it, are we starting to see that inevitable collapse of the L.A. Rams? Or is that another conversation as we see more of this happen with L.A.?
I think it may be the start.
Yeah.
But this was always going to happen for L.A. because they went completely all in with what they did to get Stafford. And they've been doing it for a while now, though. Trading away draft picks, picking up guys in trades. You know, Jalen Ramsey is another way that they gave a kind of mortgage the future for the now. And guess what? They won a ring. But, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that we're not going to see, you know, the Rams be kind of – they're going to nowhere, no way, shape, or form going to be any sort of a model as the Patriots. They're going to be like the supernova, be really hot and on fire for a couple years and then just burn out and try to figure out a way to pick up the pieces. And in that town, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. You have to try so hard for the eyes and for the dollars, for the fandom, that you have to be at the top or they'll go away because there's too much to do out there. So you understand the philosophy.
Let's look at the Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers are trying, the Clippers, you know, USC football. When it's hot, it's hot. When it's not, it's not. So I think what you got with the Rams is we're a year or two away from a complete teardown rebuild from maybe the top down, meaning McVay all the way through throughout the entire team. Now, a lot of reasons for this stuff and this player movement and the cutting of guys and all that, a lot of it is because of the quarterback and the amount of money that a lot of these teams are having to pay the quarterback position. And it's universally accepted right now in the NFL circles that you can't win without one of the top-flight quarterbacks. And in order to get one of the top-flight quarterbacks, you got to pay them. And you got to pay them bukus of money. Aaron Rodgers, 3 years, 150. You know, Mahomes' contract's off the charts. You know, Kirk Cousins signed for $35 million. I mean, are you kidding me? Will this, it seems right now that, okay, who's going to be the first $60 million quarterback? Who's going to be the first 65? You know, it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight, but will there be eventually?
I think there has to be a
correction, right?
I think there will be a $60 million quarterback. I think it'll be Tom Brady when he is 60.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though, yeah, there has to be a market correct, right? There has to be. Someone has to put their foot down and go, we can't pay you that much, either you want to be here or not. But the problem is you're going to have one person do that or one team or franchise do that, and you're going to have about 15 others say, we can pay you.
I think that's right. Or do we have to see a team win it without one of these guys?
Yes.
And so should we put all of our eggs in the Ultimates basket and the Mitch Trubisky basket?
It'll be a true testament of that franchise if they can not just make the playoffs next year, but make the playoffs, make a deep run with Trubisky. So you could plug anybody in this franchise. It's so well ran. As what Jim always says, it's the best ran pro sports franchise ever. And if that happens, you'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, we were. It's kind of.
Trubisky's not a bad quarterback. He's not. Because those numbers in Chicago, he just played for a bad fan base that made him look like he was a horrible quarterback.
Yeah, he got worse as it went along.
Sure. But he had the wins.
He did. That's true. We thought we might see it last year with the Titans and trying to figure out a way to make some noise in the playoffs with just kind of a guy. And they got bounced in the very first round.
Yeah.
So maybe Mitch Trubisky is our number one hope. If you're one of those teams that, you know, like think about the Bengals. You know, the Chargers are going all in right now. You know why? Because they haven't had to pay Herbert yet. But they're going to.
They're going to have to, yeah.
And then the Khalil Macks and those guys start going away. And so right now it's like there's only two ways to win. Either you do it early before you have to pay your quarterback, and then you see it disintegrate. Seattle, Russell Wilson, the way that all came about and then went away. Or you just pay him and you have the stud of studs that can make the other guys better. You know, and I think you see that. You know, it doesn't feel like there's any other way, but there's other teams trying it because there's just not enough of those big name, big money quarterbacks to go around.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't think it'll happen. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
You mean the correction?
The correction, yeah. Paying, you know, minimal amount, not minimal, but a modest amount for a quarterback and convincing him to stay under the premise of the money we're not paying you, we're getting you studs around you.
Right.
And that's a hard sell. It's a hard sell nowadays.
Yeah. It's hard to sell to the best.
It is.
Of those guys.
It is.
And ironically, the one guy that always did it was Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yep.
It always kind of took. Of course, he also wasn't the breadwinner of his family. Still about an hour and a half. Come get involved. Skinny on Sports. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. ESPN website. 40 plus. Nearing the 50 mark. Man, just think how many people would play along with us if anybody listened.
True. Imagine that.
It'd be pretty. There's no telling how many people would be playing with us.
Good showing.
Yeah, that's great. Come on. Let's get to 50. Let's get to 50.
Yeah, we got time.
Another hour and a half. Four tickets to Bedlam Baseball up for grabs for the winner. It's free to play. Plenty of trash talk to be had. I see a few targets of my ire. I saw a couple that signed up last night. We got husband and wife going at it. I told him, I said, man, I don't know about winning, but you've got to beat your wife in this deal,
ooh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He assured me he would.
That'd be something that the wife wouldn't let down all year long.
Yeah, I'm afraid that would be afraid that would be happening. Knowing those two people.
I've tried to talk my wife into that. She won't do it. She's like, I don't know these teams. I don't know. Like, well, pick your favorite color or your favorite mascot.
That's the way it normally happens.
You never know. It might work. Usually it does.
That's the way it normally happens. Oh, I like the Wildcats. Oh, looky there. It's Kentucky and Villanova in the finals. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just had a text. Is today the best day on the sporting calendar?
I could argue that the Saturday before Labor Day is.
That's
like a holiday for me. Not Labor Day, but the Saturday before Labor Day.
Yeah, of that weekend.
Because that's...
College football.
College football kicks off. A lot of hope for everybody. It's, yeah. But this is up there. It's not all the way up there because the glimmer and shine of NCAA basketball has kind of taken a back burner lately. But it is something everyone pays attention to, and it always grabs people's attention, whether they're the fan of the sport or not.
See, I was having this conversation on a text yesterday. It's interesting to me because this is probably the least amount of regular season college football that I have watched in my entire lifetime, or college basketball, I'm sorry, in my entire lifetime. But I'm really excited for the tournament. You know, there's been a lot of years where watch, and then kind of burn out maybe. Like, okay, I've watched it all year. Now we're to the tournament. That's not the case. So it's like I'm looking forward to watching this tournament, even though I'm not invested at all throughout the season.
Yeah. I'm very excited. The first 2 days, the first round, is always awesome to watch because you always have the potential for an upset and all that. But when it gets later in the tournament, are you as excited?
See, that's the conundrum.
Depending on who moves on.
That's the conundrum for it, right? Because these first 2 days, you want to see the ups. You want to see the Cinderella.
Yes.
But then by the time we get to next weekend, and for sure by the Final Four, it's not as cute anymore. Give me Kentucky and Duke and who, you know what I mean? Give me the big dogs. So it's like you want your cake and eat it too all at the same time. I think it does matter. It gets more exciting. Like, I mean, how awesome was it in 2008 when all four number one seeds were in the Final Four? It was fantastic.
Right. Right.
But in order to get that, the first of it has to kind of be a little bit more boring. So and that's not what anybody wants.
You'd rather have the predictable of getting the number one seeds in.
Heck yes.
Other than a George Mason or a Butler.
Yeah, because they get whipped, man. It's like George Mason. That was really cool. You beat UConn. Got to the Final Four. And then Florida just waxed you. It was like you didn't even deserve to be there. You know what I mean? You did. But it was just like, oh. Ugh.
Yeah, what if we had UConn?
Yeah. UConn, Florida would have been a cooler game than this. Right. And so it's, you know, you want to see it happen. I guess maybe... the perfect first weekend would be to have all these great games, but instead of the little guy pulling it out at the end, the big guy does. You know what I mean? Like, well, let's have Gonzaga hit the shot at the end instead of Georgia State or whatever it is. I think these 2 days are awesome. I agree with college football that Saturday, and really kind of starts Thursday anymore. Goes from Thursday to Monday of Labor Day, where there's some kind of not a totally marquee game on that Thursday, but it's an interesting enough one to where you want to watch it. And of course, you'd probably watch anybody because it's starting. Exactly. And honestly, as much this is fun, but it doesn't get no better than the finals of the college basketball tournament on the Monday, leading into Masters Week. For me.
I see.
I had that on. I got it. We got that exact text.
Why you're excited, because
we're that much closer.
At the end of this, we're in Masters Week.
That's exactly right.
Gotcha.
April 4th, my sister's birthday, is the finals that Monday. The Masters starts Thursday. And I'm going to be out of the country.
But we always like to see, you know what happened 4 years ago yesterday?
Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday.
Did you?
UMBC.
UMBC. Were you watching that when it happened?
Yes.
Yeah. So those are fun. That's why this day is fun. Because you could this day and tomorrow, the first round games, you never know. Never know. That's why you play them.
Which one are you looking forward to the most today?
Oh, boy. I'd have to look up a schedule. You go first.
I just had it up. And then hang on a second. I think... I'm anxious to see who wins Marquette, North Carolina. The reason being, I think if it's North Carolina, Baylor's in trouble. If it's Marquette, I think that's a better matchup for Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll answer this question in a second. What I was about to bring up. I think San Francisco, Murray State is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a fun game.
I agree with that.
And then, you know, there's always going to be, like, who is it? Which of the – will Vermont put a scare into Arkansas? Is it South Dakota State and Providence, the 13-4? You know there's going to be a game. Is it Richmond and Iowa? A lot of people love Iowa. Can the Spiders, you know, be that team? You know each day, whether or not it's an upset or not, you know that a 12, 13, 14 is going to put a scare into somebody, maybe even a 15. And so, you know, it's impossible to predict it. Is it Indiana? The story of Indiana is pretty crazy. They went in that play-in game on Tuesday. They didn't leave Dayton, Ohio till 4 in the morning because they had plane troubles.
Oh, dear.
And had to fly out to Portland. They didn't get to Portland till mid-morning yesterday.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now they play St. Mary's tonight. Which one do you look forward to the most?
Well, I don't like the Richmond-Iowa game because Iowa, I think, is better than a 5 seed, and Richmond snuck in. You know, they're kind of the Cinderella before the tournament's even started. But, yeah, San Francisco-Murray State looks like a lot of fun. And Memphis and Boise State, I think, could – Boise State winning their conference for the, first time ever? A lot of people like them, but I'm more on the Memphis side. I think it'd be closer than what people think.
What's your biggest upset in the first round?
Of all of them?
Uh-huh.
Let me go back to my bracket. Oh, come on. What's yours?
I think I had South Dakota State beating Providence, so 13 over a 4.
I'm looking. First round upset. Are we calling it an upset if Michigan beats Colorado State?
Seeding-wise, yes. I know what you're saying, but as far as the seeding, yes.
No, I got one. No one's picking Ohio State. I picked Loyola – or, excuse me, no one's picking Loyola Chicago over Ohio State. You didn't?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got Michigan winning. I got Loyola Chicago winning. I even have – and some people seem to look at this as an upset – because of what's going on in Baton Rouge, but I got LSU beating Iowa State.
Yeah, that's one that I flopped around back and forth. Iowa State doesn't seem like they could beat anybody right now, but then with the problems at LSU, on the text line, Michigan's a favorite in Vegas, even though they're the higher seed or the lower seed. How do you say that?
I don't know. What do you mean?
How do you go with that? Who's the higher seed, Colorado State or Michigan?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I'm already dizzy.
I mean, to be the higher seed is Colorado State.
Right.
Even though it's the lower number.
No, I think it's commonly referred as the lower seed.
The lower seed
is the bigger number.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Now you're going to get me looking that up. And
do you have a double digit seed in the Sweet 16?
I do not. I don't. My lowest seed is a 5 seed. I got 2 5 seeds, but that's it.
In the Sweet 16.
Yes.
Wow, you're chalky.
Yeah.
I am too for the most part. I've actually got a 10.
Who do you got?
This is probably going with the heart more than the head and just wanting to see it happen and wanting to see the evil that is Mike Krzyzewski go down. I've got Davidson.
You got Davidson not only beating Michigan State but also beating
yes.
Duke. You know there's no more Currys on that team.
Yeah, but they can shoot, though. I don't know what Bob McKillop's doing in practice, but he's getting dudes fill it up.
Yeah, that's a... That's a little risky for me.
I went with Davidson.
Now, my 5 seeds are Houston.
Iowa.
And Iowa.
You get an 8. You get a 10 and an 8.
Man.
But it goes back to the game today. I don't think Marquette has any chance to beat Baylor, but I think North Carolina does. But can Carolina beat Marquette?
I think they can.
Well, if they do, if I'm Baylor, I'm scared to death about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you want to win it all? Like, like your whatever the storyline, your favorite team that's there, whatever it is. Who do you want to see win it all?
I didn't pick them. I don't know why I gravitate to this team, but Iowa.
It feels like a lot of people have gravitated to Iowa.
Just something about them I like. They're a tough, hard-nosed team, a lot of experience. So I kind of I could see them being easy to root for.
From an OU fan, surely everyone has USC losing in the first round, right? The problem is you got to pick Miami.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I'm trying to think. Honestly, I think that the team that I have picked to win it is the one that I think the reason I picked them is, one, they're good, and two, because I want to see them win. And that's the Zags. I want to see them do it. You know, been close. It's funny to even talk about them as a Cinderella because they've been so good. But here's but another thing is, though, yeah, they've been good, but they're nowhere near a big dog. They don't even play football. You know what I mean? And So, you know, school-wise, they're still a little bitty school up in the northwest corner of the country. And the only reason anybody knows, has ever heard of Gonzaga, is the success that they've had in the last couple decades and John Stockton.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only reason. And so it's hard to label them as the Cinderella just because they've been so good. But at the same time, when you look at the hand that they're playing with as a school and all that, they're nowhere near, you know, some of these others. So who is your Final Four? Have you settled in and locked it down?
You're going to rip me apart still, but I have not changed it. I think Tennessee and Auburn and Texas Tech and UCLA.
Now let me tell you one more time. You've still got an hour.
I know.
1-11-1.
You're going against
Rick Barnes has not been to the second weekend but once since 2009.
He's due.
You could say that.
He's due.
He also didn't get Kevin Durant out of the first weekend of the tournament. Takes a special special
too
guy
much
to do
pressure.
That. So you've got Tennessee, Auburn, Tech, and UCLA.
Yeah.
So not nary a one seed in your Final Four.
Nope.
And you have Auburn winning it?
I have Auburn and UCLA playing for the title with Auburn winning it.
I have changed mine. I changed mine about four times yesterday.
How many times have you changed it?
I actually had Kansas in the final game at one point yesterday. I have Gonzaga. I have Kentucky. I have Arizona. And I have Wisconsin. And I've got Arizona losing to Gonzaga in the finals.
That'll
so the
be a
Zags
heck of a
the
matchup.
Champ. I would love. I just want to see that game so bad.
Yeah.
Probably more picking what I want to see instead of what I think might happen. But that's. I think that's what I'm going to settle on. Although I could still change that Midwest a time or two more. And I like UCLA too. I think that's a good pick. I have them playing Kentucky and I went with Kentucky, but I like UCLA. I think you made a fine pick there.
No, I think they kind of coasted through the year.
Yeah.
You know, doing enough to get into the tournament. And
they were hurt. They had some guys hurt.
Yeah. They have unfinished business, and that always drives a team. Always.
Anybody that saw that game last Saturday between them and Arizona in the finals of the Pac-12 tournament, that looked like a Final Four game.
Yeah.
The level it was played at, it was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting closer. Still time. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. Come join us. Approaching the 50 mark. It is tournament day. It's like Christmas Day. Waiting for 11:15 to open that first prize. But the good news is the prizes are going to keep on lasting all throughout the evening. It's like when you have your own family Christmas, and then you go to grandma's, and then you go to the other grandma's, and other you know. It's kind of what's going to be happening all day with the NCAA tournament. Still time. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. Get in there on the ESPN website. Come play. 4 Bedlam baseball tickets up for grabs. Free to play. Just come hang out and see if you can beat Jared and I with your bracket. Okay, so yesterday, The Saudi Arabian financed Greg Norman led golf series announced a schedule and announced prize money.
Okay.
8 events, 7 regular season, and then a finale somewhere. It's going to be in the finale is kind of a team tournament. $25 million is the prize money for the 7 regular season, I guess, events, with the finale being worth $50 million bucks. So a grand total of $255 million in 8 tournament series at stake.
That's all played here?
No.
It's over there.
Well, there's going to be 4 tournaments in the U.S. and 4 tournaments outside the U.S.
Okay.
So you're going to have London, Portland, New Jersey, Boston, Chicago, Bangkok, Thailand, Saudi Arabia, and then the final is to be determined location. So 4 inside the U.S., 3 outside of it, and then somewhere for the finals.
So, is there any worry to this? Now, you mentioned earlier people shaking in their boots.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a whole bunch of players that are going to look at this money and go, yeah, boy, I'd love to be a part of that, but can I?
Yeah.
You know, what do I do? If, you know, is joining this series a death nail to your PGA Tour career?
Like being told you can only do one.
Right. Yeah. From the PGA Tour side, if you're going to do that, you're suspended from here, you're banned from here. What does it do to the majors? Can these guys play, you know, because the majors aren't PGA Tour events per se. You know, the tour isn't the one running them. It's somebody else. It's either, you know, Augusta National, or it's the USGA, or it's the RNA, or the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour. So will they kind of form an alliance? I don't know. It's hard for me to see the USGA being able to do it because there's a qualifying process. Me and you could go qualify for the US Open theoretically. There's a lot to unpack here, but I think there's going to be some dudes. I mean, Jason Kokrak has flat said it. He wants to retire at 44 years of age. He's 36. This money is a giant allure to him to be able to do that.
Right.
Because that's the prize money, not to mention the fees that have been thrown out there, just the appearance fees, just for playing, no matter how you do. It seems like there's giant money behind this. Obviously, you think of Saudi Arabia, you think of one of the richest countries in the world.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to see who's going to do it. It's almost like when there's a strike, like, you know, in Major League Baseball or NFL or whatever, is anybody going to cross the picket lines? You know, it's kind of what it feels like to me. And I think there is an easy guy that you could pick out that would be the one to do it.
Who's that?
Who do you think?
Phil?
Phil doesn't count because he's too old.
Okay.
I'm talking about one of the younger guys. One of the younger guys that is risking a tour career for the allure of the big money.
DeChambeau.
100%. 1,000,000%. Bryson DeChambeau. Doesn't he seem tailor-made for this? Nobody likes him anyway. So it's not going to bother him that people are going to accuse him of taking the blood money from Saudi Arabia. Nobody likes him anyway. He's okay with it. I mean, there's been reports out there that he's being offered $50 to $100 million to do it. I mean, how do you not?
Wow. That's kind of go back to our quarterback question. Money talks, man.
I know. And so, like, do you – I guess in my thoughts are this. Is it Are a lot of these guys, I mean, the biggest names, the young stars, have all come out against it. You know, Rahm, Morikawa, Hovland, Rory, JT, all of them have come out against it. While some of the older guys, you mentioned Phil, Adam Scott, Lee Westwood, Kokrak, I mentioned, Ian Poulter, those guys have kind of expressed interest in it at a minimum. But are some of those younger guys, are they just not wanting to be the first? Are they just waiting for Bryson to do it and then they can kind of sneak in the back door?
Could be. Could be. They're just waiting for that first person to make the big news and then...
That's right. Take all the flack and then they kind of sneak right around it.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to.
Like, oh, here's the diversion.
Right, it's page 8 news. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Or are they just going to... Always, you know, have that wandering eye going, God, look at that guy is terrible. And he just made $4 million for second place or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, or is it a way to get younger guys an opportunity? You know, there's a guy that from right down the road, Quade Cummins. Is he a target for stuff like, you know what I'm saying? Those guys that can't quite find a place,
right?
But
start somewhere, and
but
then,
they're not yeah. this, they're not the star power that Greg Norman's looking for.
Exactly.
So I don't know. And there was a point there where it felt like, okay, this is just kind of news, and it's not really going to happen. And then Greg Norman said, "Watch this; it is happening." And now they release a schedule. They released, oh yeah, by the way, the money that's available. I can't wait to see how this – the first tournament scheduled June 9th through the 11th, which is interesting because that's your 3 days.
Yeah, that is a 3-day.
I just now noticed that. Is that another allure? Hey, guess what? You don't have to play 4 days. You can only play three.
Are all of them 3 days?
Looks like it, yes. Yeah, they are.
Hmm. Well, they need to be careful because they don't want to turn into the XFL of golf. Changing things, and then, you know, that can turn people. There's some guys who say, I'd rather play 4 days. That's how I've trained, is sure. Playing 4 days. And if I play 3 days, then it takes me out of my rhythm. So they need to be careful with the little gimmicks like that.
Here you go. I'm reading further down in the story. I didn't get to the bottom. Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, told players at the Players Championship last week, anyone who joined the Saudi Finance League would be suspended and potentially face a lifetime ban from the PGA Tour.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
Two agents who represent tour players told ESPN on Wednesday that Monahan told the agents at the Players Championship last week the tour wouldn't grant any releases for its players to compete and conflicting events in the U.S.
Well, that changes everything.
But does it?
Well, I don't think you're going to get big names.
What if they agree to pay him $50 million just to do it, plus whatever? I mean, how long does it take on the tour to make that?
That's true.
Years and years and years.
That is true. It goes back to our quarterback question. Do you want to play in a prestige league with PGA and going up against the best, or do you want to take the easy route and make a lot of money? And you're going to see a lot of guys take that easy route and go, I can make a lot of money doing this. And other guys go, you know what? I'd rather try to win the Masters and get a green jacket.
Yeah, I mean, potentially that's
which
what you're...
Which is more than money, you know?
But like I said, those aren't PGA Tour events. Those are outside of the quote-unquote PGA Tour. So would you be able to play these? And if you could play these and the majors, I think the allure of that big money is too much for a lot of guys to pass up.
I agree.
But if you can't, the majors is going to be a huge thing, I think.
Yeah.
And just how big the money really is.
Yeah.
For those appearance. I mean, if it's $50 million for Rory to show up before he ever tees it up, and, oh, by the way, he can still play in the majors.
Oh, yeah.
Whew.
said the first one's in June.
I think it's fascinating. I can't wait to see what happens. All right, everybody, enjoy the tournament. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. Come join us.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back. Goodbye.